Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
On today's episode, we have a special guest who is going to discuss her journey living with PCOS. So we definitely have a good episode in store for you guys. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please make sure that you leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. And if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and like this video and please subscribe to our channel. All right, so I am going to introduce our guest for the day, who is one of my longest internet friendships, someone who I've never met in person, but when you vibe, you vibe. And that is Brittany. So thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast and joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely. And yes, we have been social media friends for quite some time. So yes, it's nice to finally meet you.
Exactly. Right. This is our first face-to-face too. All right, so we're gonna jump into today's topic. So obviously you guys have seen what it's about, but I wanted to read just a definition of PCOS that I got from Hopkins Medicine, Johns Hopkins Medicine. And it says, PCOS is a very common hormone problem for women of childbearing age. Women with PCOS may not ovulate, have high levels of androgens, and have many small cysts on the ovaries. PCOS can cause missed or irregular menstrual periods, excess hair growth, acne, infertility, and weight gain. So just a little brief, some information about PCOS, but of course, Brittany's going to talk about her journey with it. And so I'll let you start. I'll kick things off with you just telling us about how you discovered you had PCOS and what age, how long it took for a diagnosis and all of that stuff, anything you're comfortable with sharing.
Sure. I will say that as a woman, I've always kind of had irregular periods growing up. Back in high school, I played 3 sports. I was very active, played AU during the summer, just constantly just active. So sometimes athletes, when you are so active, it can throw your period off. So for me to miss a period, in my adolescence, teen years, high school years, it wasn't uncommon. Fast forward to post-college, so early 20s, out of college, I'm living in the city, I'm working, going to the gym 3-4 times a week, trying to still stay fit, living a busy life, still kind of broke in that era of just making it work. But I would say around 22, right post-college, was when I knew something was a little bit off. I had happened to have very, very severe pain on my left hand side, to the point that I had to go to the emergency room. And during that visit was when they did an ultrasound and found that I had very small cyst on my ovaries. We did a few biopsies and tests, and it came back that they weren't cancerous. And I was told by the doctor at the time that they would pass on their own. It's very natural. It's pretty common for women to have those cysts on their ovaries. Not no red flags, essentially. Don't be too worried about it. Through those years, I would say I definitely was on birth control in college and being in a relationship, trying to be responsible. So just being consistent and having my periods on a regular basis due to the hormonal pill and the birth control. So nothing really changed, and I would say until about 26, I had met my now husband, and I relocated from Boston to Virginia, and within the first month, it was just trying to get acclimated, finding where the grocery store was, finding a new PCP, finding a dentist, all of the checklist things that you do when you move to a new place. So I finally got around to have a doctor's appointment, and I had mentioned that my period was late, but I thought maybe it was due to stress. Relocating is a lot of work. I had a very busy time during that time. So it went from like quitting my job to going to Jamaica for my best friend's wedding, getting back and relocating within 48 hours. So I had a very busy week leading up to relocating and just getting adjusted and acclimated to Virginia because it's very different. So initially I thought it was just stress. But then as time went on, I realized I was losing hair. I started to gain significant amount of weight. I've always had fairly good skin, maybe just like one pimple during my period. And then I started to get like hormonal acne, like around my chin area. I was extremely fatigued, always tired. If I could take a nap, I took a nap. And I just felt gloomy, and I didn't know if those were like depression or just kind of, again, the adjustment of moving and leaving everybody that I knew and making new friends and starting a new job. I didn't know if it was all of those exterior like stressors in my life. So it took me some time to actually get formally diagnosed with PCOS. It wasn't until, and if it's TMI, sorry, but it wasn't until I had a miscarriage that we ran some tests and found out that I had pretty significant cyst on one of my ovaries and a lot of blood work and kind of eliminating all other things. They thought maybe it was my thyroid. They thought maybe it was lupus. Like there was a very amounts of testing that I went through. So all in all, I'd say it was probably about a 9 to 10 month process to kind of eliminate and figure out what was wrong with me because I had so many different symptoms and a lot of stress at that time.
I do have one question, if you don't mind me asking. During the time that you were on the hormonal birth control, were your symptoms alleviated or different than when you came off? I'm asking just because a pretty big fitness influencer that I follow was recently diagnosed with PCOS, and she said for her, the birth control kind of masked a lot of her symptoms while she was on it, and it wasn't until she came off where she realized, okay, like something's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely agree to that. I was on birth control, I want to say 3 out of 4 years of college. And I was remained on birth control until about, so if we had to put like a timetable on it, I would say from 19 to 22, 23, around that time. So a significant amount of time. But during that time, like I said, all the other symptoms that I had plenty of energy. Very little breakouts, maybe one pimple from like your period, which was nothing that would kind of make you think something else was wrong. I think birth control, the biggest symptom for me was the emotional part. Sometimes I felt very emotional and I'm not a crier whatsoever. So I felt that aspect, but as far as the other symptoms that I have experienced, I would definitely say birth control masked a lot of that. And my body felt regulated. And it wasn't until I came off of the birth control that I think I gained like 15 to 20 pounds within like a 2 month period. Like it was very rapid weight gain, which was not normal for me, especially being an athlete most of my life.
I was gonna ask, so after your first ultrasound, I believe you said it was around 22. Were there any ultrasounds after that? So prior to the miscarriage, like say when you went for your annual, was that something that they did just to see if there was any change or yeah, any change really, did they?
No, the only time that I actually had a miscarriage was at 22, and then when I like demanded further testing at around 26. So that's when we're going in and biopsying and taking ultrasounds, doing blood work, just checking everything. Because I, at that point, I was defeated. I was like, there's something wrong with me, and I need to know so that I can proactively take care of myself because I don't feel like myself right now.
So after you were diagnosed, I guess, were there any changes that you made to your day-to-day to help alleviate some of the symptoms, or were there, was there any direction, I guess, given from your physician of how things would be going forward in terms of treatment or what your life will be now that you're diagnosed?
I think a lot of the research that I did came from just me Googling, like, what is PCOS? Like, what now? I always heard, like, women with PCOS won't be able to have children, and that was a huge fear of mine. The weight gain, like, just from a self-esteem standpoint, like, when you're used to being a certain size and you're used to working out and seeing your results, but it starts to kind of affect you. I would say that I started to definitely get on a workout regimen. Like, my husband is, his degree is in exercise science. His father and himself, they owned a nutrition store. So I really relied heavily on his knowledge of, okay, what do I take? What supplements can I take? What type of exercise should I be doing? If you can tell, I'm pretty broad shouldered. I was an athlete once upon a time and had a pretty muscular build. So it's like, should I be lifting more weight? Should I be doing more cardio? Like, what can I do to help with the stress levels and help with the weight gain? What can I do to kind of get my head? I was struggling mentally. I was struggling with my body image. I was struggling with the weight gain and just like feeling like I lost control of my body. I really tried to push myself to work out more, and it kind of backfired for me in the sense of like I burnt myself out, and then I would get defeated, and then the depression would sink in. And then I was learning that those are all symptoms of PCOS for some people, the mental aspect, the body dysmorphia, what you feel when you're gaining weight and clothes don't fit and certain foods make you feel sick to your stomach. And I couldn't eat the food that I enjoyed that I grew up on that was comforting to me. It was really hard. It was an adjustment for me. And I tried to throw myself into exercise and self-care, but I really struggled a lot early on with it.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna talk to you about that because I feel like I remember seeing, I don't know if it was 75, what is that challenge called?
75 hard.
75 hard. Okay. I thought it was you. Yeah. So I think you completed that. Is that
I
right?
I did. Even with COVID. I don't know. That's what I'm like. When I have a goal, I am like balls to the wall, like hardcore, 100%. Like, and that's probably, it's a gift and a curse, I'll say. But yeah, I did that in 2021. We had recently moved and we were kind of like, I was away from all the friends that I've made here. So I was like, I need to do something that gets me out of the house more. I'm working from home. It's the whole, like, I only talk to my dog all day. Like, I just need to physically be in nature and do something. So I, again, just going down like a Reddit rabbit hole, I think one night I came across 75 hard. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. I like working out. I love a challenge. I'm a huge fan of like goal setting. It's like an endorphin rush for me to be able to check a list off. Like, I'm the queen of lists. So, but I really was intrigued by it. I thought it was really cool. I thought it would be something to kind of push me out of my little funk that I was in with COVID. And also kind of leading up to the wedding, I was like, hey, like the worst that could happen, I'll lose a little bit of weight and I'll feel good about myself. So yeah, I did 75 hard. I ended up getting COVID, I think 2 or 3 weeks in, and I still drank my gallon a day and I read my book and I took my walk, 45-minute walk outside, and I was weak, but I just needed to get outside and like push myself through it. And I ended up losing a lot of weight, and part of that was probably because of COVID. So I don't want to glorify the weight loss, but for me, it reinforced kind of like self-care and like routine and prioritizing myself and my health, and just kind of reminding myself that even if the depression aspect of PCOS is like really hard on you, you can still do hard things and you can still show up for yourself. So I read a lot of what is her name? Brene Brown.
Brene Brown, yeah.
Yes, I think I read like every book of hers during it, and she's phenomenal, and like I could quote her all day. She's awesome. So I read a lot of like self-help and empowerment books during that time. I had a lot of free time having COVID, as you can imagine. So I read a ton of books. I changed my diet during that time. I cut out dairy and I cut out white flour. I basically did kind of similar to what I eat now, which is anti-inflammatory, but that was the first time I had really adjusted my diet. I cut out sugar. Like, I'm a sugar fiend, so that was really hard. And the funny thing is, I wasn't thinking about PCOS when I did all these things. I was just like, it just felt instinctual to kind of like eliminate some of the things that like I love and kind of isolate myself and really like hunker down and do something to prove that discipline to myself. And it's probably the best I've ever felt in my life. It was the hardest thing I ever did. But it's the best I physically had felt in a long time. And I think the lack of sugar, the increase in hydration, I took my vitamins every day. We're talking about 75 days of consistency. It was really, really challenging, but I came out of it and I felt great. My skin was pristine, like absolutely, absolutely clear, like glowing. And physically, I had lost 32 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, but part of that's COVID, so I don't want to glorify
Yeah.
any of that. It's not the healthiest way to go about it, but once I was strong enough to physically like get back in the gym, I was like working out and weight training and things like that. But it just the discipline, like I said, the aspect of it really helped me mentally.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, so 75 hard is 75 days where you do two workouts a day, one inside, one outside. You
Yes.
read at least 10 pages of a book.
Nonfiction.
Nonfiction. Okay. There's a major one that I'm
A
forgetting.
gallon of
A
water.
gallon of water.
You have to take a picture of yourself
Every
like
day.
every day so you can see it. And that is very, that was probably the most profound thing to see like day. I'll never post it, but to see like day one and like day 75,
Yeah.
like I could see the difference in myself, my confidence, I'll say. And I think the last one is maybe weigh yourself. I can't remember all of them at this
Okay.
point, but it's a list of things to do. But if you mess up at any point in time, or like there were times it was like 11:59 and I'm jumping out of bed to go take a picture. like I can't mess up. You have to start over. So that's the whole basis of it. And like I had read Reddit threads of people who are like, this is my fourth time doing it over. And I'm like, listen, I got one shot. I don't got time to
I'm
like
not starting
this
this over.
over. I was like, I am starting March 1st, and by I think it's May 15th, this is it. Oh, alcohol. No alcohol is the other one that I forgot. So giving up alcohol. So yeah, I remember at the end, I was like, I need a margarita. Thank you very much. I think that's the first thing I had was a margarita at the end of it. But yeah.
Wow. You mentioned that you experienced a bit of burnout. Is that in reference to the 75 hard and you committing to that process, or was the burnout you were re referencing something else?
No, girl. The burnout was, I was tired of my negative self-talk. I really struggled with my body image. I would say of the symptoms that I experienced, weight gain was probably the number one. Like I would say in the first 6 months of relocating, I had put on probably about 35, 40 pounds in total. So like the first couple of months, it was like 20, and I was like, okay, maybe that's just I moved south. I went from Boston, where I'm walking all the time, living and working in the city, taking the train, to working in a small office and driving 30 minutes everywhere. I kind of live in the country, where I'm at in Virginia. So lifestyle changed for sure. But I thought maybe, okay, maybe that 20 pounds is just the initial adjustment. But then it just kept going. But then I'm working out and I'm taking classes at the YMCA, and my husband and I bought bikes and we're going bike riding, and I'm wearing heart rate monitors and I'm tracking my food and I'm taking my supplements and I'm doing everything I used to do as an athlete and see results, and I'm not getting results. So now my brain is in overdrive and I'm slightly type A. So I'm a list person. So I'm like, okay, what is it? Why can't I figure it out? And I struggled with that. I struggled with that so, so bad. it affected my mental health. I told you I'm not a crier or a very emotional person. Like I'm very I'm a suppressor naturally, but during that time I used to cry. I used to cry about my body image. Why am I gaining weight? I don't recognize myself. I'm doing all these things right, and I'll have one cheat meal, and then I'll feel guilty about that cheat meal because the scale hasn't changed. But I worked out twice a day for the past week, and nothing's changing. And I got defeated after a while. I went to doctors, and the only solution was, well, we can give you this birth control to balance out your hormones because your hormones are out of whack. Or we can give you a diabetic drug, which I don't have diabetes, so why do I need metformin? So those were the only two options given to me at that time. And I at 25, 26, I was worried about my ability to have children. We didn't get married until last year, but we've been together for 8 years. So I'm thinking of my future. I'm thinking of the changes that my body's going through. I'm seeing that I'm not getting results from diet and exercise, and my body is feeling burnt out mentally. I'm defeated. I'm feeling like there's no solution or help from the medical field. I went through, I think, three different PCPs just because I felt like I always had to advocate for myself. Like, I'm not a doctor, but I can research and I can read and I can talk to other women who have similar symptoms. I have several friends that have PCOS. And almost all of us have had to advocate for ourselves or ask for a second opinion. And there's not a lot known about the cause of it. There's not a lot of options outside of certain diabetic drugs or birth control. Some people decide to take the holistic route, which nowadays is kind of what I lean towards. Not that I've lost faith, I just think it's going to take time and research and money for them to really figure out why is it that so many women are popping up with PCOS. Like, what's the root cause of it? Because I feel like it's so common now.
It really is. So you were the first person who I heard talk about it, actually. So I'm really grateful that you shared that. And then since then, I feel like more people in my circle, have started talking about it, but you were the first person. Can you talk about like the frustrations that came from going to different primary care physicians? What were the things that were happening in your conversations with them that frustrated you and led you to maybe get another opinion and then another opinion?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but here I consider Virginia the South. Not a lot of people do, but I'm from Boston, so anything like below DC is the South. So don't shoot me. But I think culturally, I remember one doctor's appointment. I was adamant about having a Black PCP. I wanted a Black woman. I felt like there would be a level of rapport and just understanding that I would get by having a woman of color. And just like personal care, sometimes you just want to be seen, feel heard, feel understood, and not have to advocate for yourself. You just assume that you're a Black woman too. You know our woes in healthcare in general. I remember going in for just a annual physical, woman's physical. So you go, you get all your tests and whatnot. And I remember her asking, "Do you have any questions?" And I said, "Yes." I said, and this is before I was diagnosed. I said, "I've been having a lot of, I've gained a lot of weight, and I haven't had a period in like 3 months, and I'm a little bit concerned." I say, "I know I'm not pregnant. I've taken umpteen tests, and I've been safe, whatnot, but I haven't got my period and I'm gaining weight and I'm concerned." And she's like, "Well, didn't you just move here?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Oh, honey, you're fine. You'll be fine. Everyone has to get adjusted. Like, it just takes time." She goes, "Most of my clients are military wives because I live in a military area." And she goes, "I hear that all the time. Like, everyone's just stressed out trying to get acclimated to a new area." And then she asked, "Are you military?" I said, "No." She goes, "Oh, you're fine." And I was just like, just kind of like shoved me off. I'm like, I'm telling you, I have concerns. Like, and after that, I was like, pay my bill. I'm finding a new doctor. And it wasn't until one of my coworkers, who's a Black woman, I said, hey, who do you go to? You're from here. Who do you go to? And she's like, I have the best doctor. She's a nurse practitioner, but you can have her as a PCP essentially. So she was fantastic, had her own office, and through her referral is who I eventually like landed in. But just the nonchalant like attitude and kind of grouping my concern or assuming that my concern wasn't valid made me feel kind of like, again, like, oh, I'm gonna have to advocate for myself, and I don't like confrontation. I'm one of those people. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not a pushover by any means, but I just don't like confrontation. So it made me feel that either I'm gonna have to like get sassy or find another solution. So I ran into that a few different times. I had a consultation with another doctor, and this is post miscarriage, just trying to find a new doctor. And it was a man, and it just wasn't a great experience. And he was the one that's like, oh, the sister, they're benign. It's nothing to be worried about. I'm like, I haven't had a period. Like, I went almost 9 months without a period, and nobody, it took for me to get to my final PCP for her to be like, okay, let's run some blood work. Let's get you scheduled for an ultrasound. We're going to, it was the first time like I'm researching lupus. Like, I was like, does anyone in your family have lupus? That was the first time I was asked that question. And I was like, no, my family has no history of lupus. She's like, I don't want to scare you, but is there any cancer? And both my parents had cancer. So she's like, okay, well then let's eliminate all of these. So Lord willing, it wasn't cancer. Obviously, here we are, but it wasn't until I reached that doctor where it was just kind of like, okay, process of elimination. Let's kind of, we'll baby step it. And she was much more understanding and like held my hand through the process, whereas the other doctors are very, very dismissive.
That is so frustrating because if you wanted that response, you could have just looked at WebMD and talked yourself out of it.
I'm saying.
Like you're coming in with real concerns, and I don't think it costs them anything to run tests. If anything, it's the insurance companies.
I was like, I'm footing the bill for it. Just tell me what I
Right.
need to
Yeah, I found that the women's health area, from my experience, is the one area where I feel like women get brushed off the most. And I think it's because the
Yes.
doctors just get so used to women coming in with the same similar symptoms that it's like, oh, well, I've
Like
seen
one
10.
size fits all,
Yeah,
right?
it's
And
like, oh,
it's
I've seen
not.
10 patients today who've had irregular periods. The likelihood is maybe one of them has something serious, but you could be that one.
Exactly.
Right.
I feel like, in my experience, people either want to act too much, like they're recommending stuff that I don't really need to do at this stage, or they're dismissive. Like, so it's such a hard balance to strike, finding the right person to care for you. So that's why I was interested in like what led you to get other opinions.
Yeah. Okay. So how are you currently navigating PCOS? So you mentioned earlier that you've been leaning more towards a holistic approach, if you don't mind sharing a little bit around kind of what that entails, and if there's anything else in terms of how you're managing PCOS now.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that I started with eliminating the stressors in my life, from the research that I've done and what I've been told by some professionals. Your stress hormone is very high, with PCOS, and that's what can affect the weight gain and the acne and the mood. I don't want to call it mood swings, but just the fluctuation of like feeling really sad one day and just like not feeling like yourself. So, I switched jobs. I kind of hunkered down during the pandemic, and I was like, I want to do something where I could work from home remotely and I could make really good money, but I enjoy what I do. When I moved from Boston to Virginia, not really having a network or connections, I took a job to pay the bills. I wasn't loving what I did. I kind of made that sacrifice for the relocation. So I made it a point to really upskill and network more and find a niche where I could do the things that I love and I had a really good work-life balance. So I eliminated some work stress. I started to walk more. I don't know if that really changed much, but I learned that all the hard hit cardio that I was doing in those classes and Orange Theory and riding my bike for 3 hours a day, that was actually causing more stress on my body. So it was having the opposite effect. Whereas if I just threw a podcast on and took my dog and we went for a 5 mile walk 2 or 3 times a week, I would get the results I wanted without a third of the stress that my body was under. So those 2 a days, I started to eliminate that type of workout regimen and lifting more and stretching more and trying different things like yoga and Pilates and just classes that were less impactful and stressors for my body. I changed my diet, and this is probably the biggest thing. During the 75 hard 2 years ago, I kind of adopted more of a Mediterranean type diet, which is in fact kind of anti-inflammatory. And through research, again, I learned that that's really good for PCOS. It's good to balance your hormones, eliminating certain foods and sugar and drinking more water and just really watching what I ate and choosing like whole foods over fast food or just kind of like fat saturated foods or whatnot. We started cooking more. My husband has taken up cooking, which I love because I don't do all the cooking anymore. So every Sunday we kind of have our little ritual where we'll go to Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, and I'd say about 90% of the food in our house is organic. So making sure that we're eating whole foods and there's more vegetables on my plate than anything, and just kind of doing being intentful about what we're putting into our bodies, what we're drinking. I don't really drink alcohol as much anymore. I really haven't, like through the pandemic, I've definitely eliminated that. All the added sugar. I love sugar. I love chocolate. I love candy, sweets, desserts. Like, I will eat a whole cake if you let me. Like, I love sugar. But I've had to kind of dial it back, and I've noticed a difference. I've lost weight because of it. My skin, my acne that I've had here has cleared up. My skin looks better. I'm sleeping better, which is, I didn't expect that, but I'm sleeping so much better. I just making those types of changes, like reducing stress, eating better, doing more intentional type of workouts have definitely made a difference. It's helped my mood because it keeps me active. Food-wise, I definitely feel better. My body, if that makes sense, my body feels better. Like the food doesn't make me feel sluggish. I feel energized. But yeah, just making those small changes have definitely helped. But I still wish that there was more that the medical community could do. I'm always researching like what supplements I can take. The cabinet behind us is like our supplement cabinet. It's like filled to the ceiling of like every like vitamin D, magnesium, zinc, everything you can think of that's supposed to be good for PCOS and fertility and things like that. I've looked it up and I have it. I make shakes and smoothies and I'm always adding fresh herbs to my water and like experimenting and just seeing what feels good and what makes me feel good. And I feel like until science catches up with the holistic community, yeah, until science catches up with the holistic community, I think that's kind of the new wave right now is eat as organically as you can and just take care of your body.
Yeah, All right, so I know you've mentioned the miscarriage earlier and how important it was to have a family. So are there any updates with that you would like to talk about?
Sure. I would say that I am on a fertility journey. We were recently married in October, so I feel like everyone's like just waiting. And with my recent like diet changes and not really drinking alcohol, we actually went to a party for one of his coworkers last night and his wife, who recently graduated with her master's. So they had a little house party. And of course, everyone's drinking and like eating like wings and dip and stuff. And I walk in with like my chickpea bag of chips and my like sparkling water and stuff. And everyone's like looking like, I'm like, I'm not pregnant. It's okay. I don't drink anymore. So, but yes, fertility is definitely on the forefront. Not only just being recently married, but I think we're definitely in a place where we want a family. My husband and I have been together for 8 years. We have unfortunately experienced a miscarriage very early on in our relationship, but I think at the time we weren't ready. We were very young. We were very broke. I didn't have the maturity level I think that I have now. I'm very transparent. I'll be 33 this year, so I think my biological clock was like, okay, girl, like let's figure this out. So I think with PCOS, you have it almost forces you to have a very honest conversation with your spouse and with yourself and your spouse, because there is that what if in the back of your head, like what if I am that percentage that unfortunately, it does suffer from infertility. What if we're not able to have kids? Are we okay with adopting? Are we okay with just being like the cool aunt and uncle? We each have siblings that have multiple children. His brother has two. I have a sister that has three. So it's like we do get our fill in being around children. And my husband's a coach at a high school and he works at a high school. So I'm constantly involved in the booster clubs and going to games. I went to a national track meet this weekend. Like I'm always around. There are kids at the end of the day, so I'm very much involved in it. So I think we've had hard conversations around it. Will we feel fulfilled in this lifetime if we're unable to have kids? And I don't think we would have gotten married and been where we're at had we not had those conversations. And the answer is yes. I think there's a lot of ways to be maternal. There's a lot of ways to be paternal. It doesn't necessarily have to be from you. You can show up in a lot of ways for children and for the children in your life, or you can adopt or you can foster. There's a lot of options, and I think 32-year-old me can say that very maturely and very confidently, but 26-year-old me, who was took 9 months to get diagnosed and felt very insecure, like I don't think I ever saw myself being okay with not being a mom. But with all that said, we're very cognizant of the I guess the biological clock, if you will. Being in our early 30s, both of us, and making sure that if we are going to try and put our best foot forward, we're very intentional about what we're eating, how we're treating our bodies, how often we're going to the doctors, having those tougher conversations, looking at putting all the options on the table. And if it gets to that point, then I think we're prepared. But we're very much in that cycle of trying.
Okay. So do you have any resources that you feel comfortable with sharing that you think anyone in our audience who's either going through PCOS or potentially, or they just want to learn more, any resources could be a book, IG page, TikTok, anything you feel like has helped you along your journey so far?
Yeah, I would say early on, I joined a bunch of Facebook groups, just trying to find a community of other women that may be going through what I'm going through. And I found it very helpful in the beginning of my journey. They like when I the way that I explain it is like I think there's something called like the seven stages of grief. And that's kind of how I felt when I was diagnosed because I'm shocked, I'm in denial, I'm feeling depressed. I'm like, okay, well, if you work out twice a day for X amount of days and if you burn X amount of calories, I'm calculating it all out, I'm bargaining with myself. You can lose weight, you can rebalance all your stuff naturally. Like I'm going through that whole cycle. And I think during that time, it was really helpful for me to see other women in the same boat as me or other women that might be further along in their journey. And just even though I didn't say anything in the group, I'm very kind of like reserved and the quiet person in the corner. Nights where I couldn't sleep and I was up overthinking or just having a day where I was like, you know what, today's just not my day and my symptoms are getting the best of me and I'm just in a funk. I would lay in bed and I would stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and I would read through some of those Facebook groups and see women like, hey, like we tried for 3 years and now we're pregnant, or I was able to successfully lose weight and I did it without medication and this is kind of my story. And just seeing those nuggets of like hope and progress and just seeing that other women are able to overcome some of their struggles was very, very it's very important for me during that time. I will say that since then I have come kind of away from the Facebook groups just because it can also have the reverse effect. So you have to be cognizant. Sometimes just reading a lot of sob stories does affect your own mental health. I'm very empathetic to other people, so I think just if I could give advice, I would say if you're new and newly diagnosed, I think there's a lot of good knowledge in those types of groups. But I think do your own research, figure out what your symptoms are, see if there's somebody on social media who might mirror what you have going on and if they're seeing success. I remember reaching out to, I can't remember her handle at this time, but there's a woman who has a whole platform on PCOS and IG. And this is early on and just asking questions and she answered me right away. And she has a huge platform talking hundreds of thousands of followers. So I didn't expect to get a response, but I think it's such a, I think due to the lack of support in the medical field of what's going on, the lack of research right now, especially for it, I think it's very community based is where you'll find the most support for PCOS right now. And I'm hoping that that changes. I'm really hoping that that changes because it can feel lonely when there's something wrong with you and no one else can relate. It can feel very lonely.
This is the last thing, but I just appreciated that you said, okay, know your own symptoms. Because if I'm remembering correctly, when I read what I found online, it said excessive hair growth, but you experienced hair loss. Is that what I'm remembering correctly? Okay. Wow.
Yes. I'm not a hairy person like at all. Like I have no hair on my arms. Like if I might shave my legs once a month. Like it's weird to say that because I know people who shave like every day. Like I'm not a naturally hairy person. But early on, I noticed that I think when I first moved, I had a weave in my hair. And then of course you're like, I need a hairstylist, let me take it down. And I noticed like as I'm washing my hair and I'm working out, like just clumps of hair coming out, which is why initially they thought maybe lupus. So I was like, oh, like what's going on? My hair was thinning and like I feel like my hair texture kind of changed a little. And eventually I started taking vitamins and stuff, and that definitely helped. I think I definitely had a vitamin deficiency. But no, I never experienced like some women have on top of the hormonal acne that happens here, they also get like hair and like some women have to get this whole area waxed. I have a friend that's one of her biggest symptoms is the excessive hair growth. And I think it just depends on how your body reacts. And that's another thing too. And I think that's why a lot of women go misdiagnosed or undiagnosed is because what symptoms I have, you may not have. So there's a lot of symptoms to be on the lookout for. But I think if you are a little bit intuitive and kind of know something's off with your body, then you should absolutely speak up and see if it is something. But yeah, I luckily don't have that issue, but I had the weight, had the moodiness slash depression. I had the hair loss, the missed periods, terrible periods when I did get a period, the cyst on my ovaries. There's a lot on my end, but yes, hair loss is a big one for people, but not me. Or hair, I'm sorry, the hairiness, the hair growth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Well, I am so appreciative that you took the time to speak with us on this. I know we have one more segment to get into, but I didn't want to go into that without thanking you, because
absolutely,
I appreciate you educated me. Like, I feel like I've been, you know, we're not friends in real life, but you know, you get attached to your social media friends. So
absolutely,
you know,
my husband thinks I'm crazy, by the way. He's like, how do you have these friends? I'm like,
I don't
know. I've been on social media like half my life at this point. So it's like,
right.
I'm watching people grow up.
Literally, I was telling my brother, I'm like, oh, our friend Brittany is going to be on the podcast. And he's like, from all those years ago? Yeah.
Actually. Yeah, it's so funny.
That's hilarious. All right, let's get into our final segment, which is called Girl, What's Good, where we talk about something we've been loving. Can be a movie, a show, a brand, anything that we've been loving. So, Brittany, what's been good with you?
What's been good? I'm kind of a hermit these days, but for good reason. I'm clearly focused on other things in my life, but music has been my like thing right now. I've been kind of going down a nostalgia path, but I've also really liked some of the new artists that have come out. I'm kind of embarrassed to say, because I'm definitely a little too old probably to be listening to this artist, but I really like her. I like her vibe. I think she's cute. I think she reminds me of what the It Girls were like when I was in high school. I would say my thing right now is Ice Spice. Don't judge me.
Okay. No judgment
at all.
I just really like her. I think she's so cute. I love her vibe. Her voice is like actually soothing. I think it's a good change from some of like the rap that we get. And I think she's unique. I think she's having fun. I think she's very empowered. It's good to see young women just kind of embracing their sexiness, embracing their vibe, and just having fun. And when I hear her music, it makes me happy. So
yeah, okay. It is fun music. And her, and even like some of the other like newer rap girls, I'm like, they better do the thing.
Yes, but where was this when we were in high school?
Seriously,
like, I like this wave of female rappers. I enjoy it. I love music, but I definitely love like all this women empower. Like, I don't know if we can cuss, but like, talk your shit. Like, I love that. I love that about women. So yeah, I think Ice Spice is kind of my new it thing.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Do you want to go next?
No, you can go.
So mine is a movie, of course. I either do TV shows or movies. Actually, now that I say it's a movie, I also have a TV show. But Luther, The Fallen Son, it's with Idris Elba. It's on Netflix. And so I watched that. It's a little like dark and heavy, so you know, don't think you're gonna get your mood uplifted watching this. Like, it's a cop show. People are doing very dangerous and harmful things, so just beware. So there's that. But I'm also gonna shout out Unprisoned, which is Kerry Washington.
Yes, I just started watching that.
Yes, on Hulu.
Thumbs up on that.
I enjoy. So yeah, those are my two. I couldn't pick just one.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel like, did I do a podcast the last time? I can't remember. It's been a few weeks since we've done this segment, but what's been good with me is this podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. If you've been listening, you all know that I love most things true crime that aren't too heavy and deep, but this one has an interesting spin on it in that it's more of a talk show style, where they bring on celebrity guests to discuss their favorite or most interesting true crime case. And the last, I don't think it was the last one, the last two before the one that just came out, was the assassination of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And what I love about it is that it's one talk show style, but I like how they dive into cases that aren't just new. And I'm learning things that I had no clue. Like, I thought I knew about the assassination of Malcolm X and I know nothing. But yeah, so Robbie and Ellen solved the case, and you can find it on most major podcast platforms.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast. And if you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. Don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.